Well, now let's turn to the passage of God's Word which we read, the first book of Samuel, chapter 30, and as God would help me, I'd like to concentrate on verse 6. 1 Samuel, chapter 30, verse 6. Now, David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Let's concentrate on that last sentence. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. These words must surely be one of the most encouraging statements in the whole of the Bible, both for Christians and non-Christians. When you think of King Saul and you think of King David together, it's hugely instructive. King Saul was a talented, gifted king. But you remember, in one moment, as it were, he lost the kingdom. Why? What was the straw that broke the camel's back, we might say? It was when Saul got impatient waiting for Samuel. And he took the law, he took the priesthood into his own hands, and he did what only priests could do. Even kings couldn't do what priests were allowed to do. But that act of impatience, he lost the kingdom. He lost the kingdom over it. And then you think of King David. Whatever good he did, we all know what sin he committed. He committed adultery and tried to cover it up with what? Murder. And yet King David's in heaven. King David's in heaven. And I think we can say King Saul is in hell. What made the difference? David was by far the greater sinner, and yet he's in heaven. Why? If you're not a Christian, do understand why. However great your sins are, if you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive you your sins. No matter how many they are, no matter how great they are, God is faithful if you confess your sins to him. David confessed his sin and was forgiven. Saul denied his sin and despaired. When they were in distress, David here turns to God and is blessed. When Saul was in distress, what do we read? He turned to a witch. Being unsuccessful in knocking on the gates of heaven, he tries knocking on the gates of hell. How tragic, how sad. That's the difference between a Christian and the world. If we confess our sins to God, if we repent of them, he will forgive if we only believe, irrespective of how great our sins are. And here we have a tremendous encouragement about David in his life afterwards. David was greatly, greatly distressed. Not just distressed, greatly distressed. But he was able to strengthen himself in God. As God would help me, I'd like to look at the distress which David was in, firstly, and then secondly, to answer the question, how can David, or indeed anyone for that matter, strengthen themselves in God? How's it done? But first of all, the distress which David was in. Five things, very briefly. Number one, David lost all his earthly possessions. The Amalekites had attacked him and taken away every single thing that was worthwhile. And when they came across something that was not worthwhile or of no use to them, what did they do with it? We read it, they burnt it. If it was no use to them, they burnt it. David was left with no material goods. Not even a plastic bag to put anything in. He lost all his earthly possessions. But you know, there's things more painful than losing all your earthly possessions. His two wives were taken hostage. He was effectively bereaved. They used to say when I was young and somebody would be emigrating abroad. And of course in these days when you emigrated, you didn't come home for 30 or 40 years and effectively you would never see them again. And I always remember my father saying, you know, he said, it's hard parting with the dead, but it's actually harder parting with the living. Well, that was David. His two wives, they probably were living, but we don't know. These Amalekites were amongst the cruelest people on the face of the earth. I don't like saying it, but they were so cruel that apparently, according to the records, they would skin people alive and roast them in fire for pleasure. Not because they were enemies or did something horrible to them, but they liked doing it. They were barbarians of the deepest degree. They were horrific, fearful, violent people. And now you can imagine David. What are they doing to my wives? What are they doing? Are they alive? What agony, what pain are they in? His earthly possessions were nothing when he thought about the condition of his wives. And remember, no such thing as antidepressants in these days. No such thing. Thirdly, there was a threat of further ambush. There was no time to sit and mourn and grieve. We've been hearing today with coronavirus, you can't even grieve with your dying parents. David was like that. There was no time to sit and mourn because the people, the enemies, were coming back. It was a fearful situation. They didn't know what was going to happen next. There was no time for a prayer meeting. There was no people to have a prayer meeting with. What did we read there about the scoundrels? No people to have a prayer meeting with, supposing there was time. He had no fellowship. And then there was a fourth thing, which is so sad. His own people spoke of stoning him. Now, isn't that pathetic? Here they were in that situation and they were going to stone their leader. Eh? Mutiny in his own ranks. He could not trust anyone. Treason. Confide in no one. What a condition. What a situation. But you know this? There's the fifth thing, which is the worst thing of all. David was backslidden from God. For nearly 2 years, he had composed, those who study these things tell us he had composed no psalms for nearly 2 years. For nearly 2 years, he had added to his wives. I think for months and months, he had fought with the Philistines against Israel. You can read it in chapter 27. It's hard to read and quite hard to follow, to be honest. But think of it. David fighting for the Philistines against the people of God, Israel. It's almost unbelievable what happened. So, the much more important question. How on earth can David, or indeed anyone else for that reason, at this time, in that condition, how can they strengthen themselves in the Lord his God? How can he do it at that time? Much to learn. Well, David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. The original word strengthened is translated actually 14 different ways in the Bible, especially in the Authorized Version. It's the word strengthened here, as you know, most of us will know, in the Authorized Version, it's encouraged. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now, one of the things about these biblical languages is that they have lots of, there's not one English word that fully encapsulates all the meaning of the original word. That's the dilemma which translators have. It can mean encourage. It does mean encourage. But it also means strengthen themselves. But it also means other things. And the word that's used most to translate the original word here is the word 47 times in the Old Testament. The original word is translated repair. It's a word used for repairing the temple, repairing the walls of the city. Repairing. Have you got it? David repaired himself in the Lord his God. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that heartening? Now, he repaired himself, he encouraged himself, he strengthened himself. He strengthened himself. Now, we read Psalm 42 there, when David was so discouraged. Why are you cast down, O my... the psalmist. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me, hope in God? Now, people who are depressed, people who are discouraged, they're always speaking about themselves, aren't they? I think it's Martin Lloyd-Jones, he's got a book on sermons he preached on discouragement or depression, it is. People like that can only think of themselves, and they shouldn't. But when you read Psalm 42, as we did there, when the psalmist was depressed, discouraged, you see, he's speaking about himself all the time. Well, actually, if you read it carefully, he's not. As Martin Lloyd-Jones was quick to point out, there's all the difference in the world between speaking about yourself on the one hand and speaking to yourself on the other hand. And that's what the psalmist was doing in Psalm 42. Speaking to himself. Pull your socks up, Gather yourself together. Pull yourself together. Isn't it lovely? You know the story. You all know the story of the prodigal son. How he got what he wanted. He left his father's house, went to the city, riotous living, wasteful living, until eventually he got down to the stage when he'd be happy to eat the food of the pigs. And then you read a verse, and what does it say? And when he came to himself, I love that. When he came to himself, the real me. I'm my father's son. You know, today is a day when they're getting mixed up with self-identity, aren't they? And as I think it's Sinclair Ferguson who pointed it out, man is made. Human beings are made in the image of God. So if you say there's no God, what happens? Well, no wonder you've lost your self-identity. You don't know who you are. Because you're made in the image of God, but you say there's no God. So who are you? We create our own problems. But if you take the prodigal son of his father, he came to himself. Who am I? I am my father's son. Oh, I let him down. Oh, I wandered away from him. But I'll go back where I belong. I'll go back where I belong. And note very, very carefully. David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. He didn't just strengthen himself. He strengthened himself in God. You see, when we're depressed, when we're going astray, we're talking about ourselves, we're thinking about ourselves. We've got to think on something else. We've got to get our minds full of something else. And the best thing to fill our minds is God. We're made in his image. We're made for him. We're placed on planet Earth so that we glorify him. We should be full of him when we've lost ourselves. When we don't know what to think, don't know where to go, go to God. Think of God. Pray to God. Get filled of God. And you know, we preachers, there's a danger that we start preaching about your needs all the time. Well, there's a place for it, of course. But listen, I always remember a bishop, a curate, who used to preach. In fact, we got it in college, theology class. He was to preach for the first time before his bishop. And the curate was trembling, frightened. And he said to the bishop, what will I preach about? And the bishop stared at him. And he said, you will preach about God. That's what you preach about. God. And if we would just be more full of God, then all the other things would take their rightful place. How do we find out what we are truly like? It's when we compare ourselves to God. We're made in his image. We're to portray, we're to serve him. And if we fill ourselves with God, David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. The God he backslidden from, he returned. Contemplate, concentrate on God. The New Testament is full of it. Set your mind on things above. And I'm sure David would have remembered what God did for him in the past. When the lion came to him, when the bear came to him, when he was faced with Goliath, all these things would have come back. Who are you? I'm the one that God saved from the lion and the bear and Goliath. And God can save me in this distress. And so he strengthened himself in the Lord his God. We might come back to that if we've got time. It's a wonderful thing. His God. Now, I want to mention three or four things that help us and teach us how we can strengthen ourselves in distress, how we can strengthen ourselves in the Lord our God. And they all begin with the letter C. The first is, way back to God, is communicate with God. Communicate with God. Start speaking to God again. You see, as we said earlier, he had composed no psalms for a couple of years. He hadn't been engaged with God. How did the problem begin? How does the problem often begin? Not speaking to God. Hosea chapter 14 is the, well, I think the best part of the scriptures that teach that for backsliding people. Backsliding begins by, how do you backslide? What's the first thing you do? Well, you wander away from God's people. Hey, you don't backslide under the nose of the minister. You don't backslide under the nose of the elder. You don't backslide in front of another Christian. You go away from them first. You isolate yourself from them. And you stop speaking to God and his people and his house and his word. Now here is Hosea giving instructions to Israel how to come back to God. Oh Israel, return to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take with you words and return to the Lord. Isn't that lovely? Take with you words and return to the Lord. The problem started because you had nothing to say to God. But start speaking to God again. The first C, communicate with God. But then you ask the question, what do I communicate? What do I say? Well, Hosea tells us, take with you words and return to the Lord and say to him, what? Take away all iniquity. Take away all iniquity. Receive us graciously. Quite simple, really, isn't it? You know, Christianity is not complicated. It isn't. It's dead simple. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it's easy, but I am saying it's simple. Straightforward. But you need grace. What words? No, sorry, that's the second C. Confess your sin. Take a few words and say, take away all iniquity. And God loves us confessing our sin to him. We're ashamed of our sin, but we must confess it to God. And you know, well, sadly, David's going to backslide further. He's backslidden here, but in the second book of Samuel chapter 12, verse 13. His sin, as we mentioned, with Bathsheba. Isn't it wonderful? Chapter 12, verse 12. Nathan came to him, he said, you did it secret, but I will do this thing before the sun. Verse 13, 2 Samuel 12, 13. So David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. That's pretty straightforward, simple. There's no theological terms to confuse you. I have sinned against the Lord. And you know what I love about it? The Bible, the Holy Spirit, who wrote every word, composed every word, he doesn't even start the next verse with saying, your sin's forgiven. It's the same verse. The moment he confessed his sin, he was forgiven. I'll read the whole verse. 2 Samuel 12:13. So David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. Instant forgiveness upon confession of your sin. That was the difference between David and Saul. And it's the difference between Christians and non-Christians. We've always something to say to God. Forgive our sin. Change us. Make us holy. Give us your Holy Spirit. So the first C, communicate with God. The second C, confess to God. The third C, and it's very important, we must have confidence in God. You see, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Christianity is not going through a ritual, going through a system. You do this and then that and then next thing, and then you will be alright. Without faith, it's utterly impossible to please God. You must believe it is not a vain thing to call on God. You must believe that. And you see, this is, well, we'll come back to it. David strengthened himself in the Lord, his God. His God. She said, hey, wait a minute. I thought you left God's people and joined the Philistines. Ah, David can wander from God, but God never leaves his people. You know, there's an even more powerful verse in the Bible that speaks of this. Manasseh, in 2 Chronicles 33. I find it absolutely amazing. What verse? 12. 2 Chronicles 33 verse 12. Yeah. You remember all the sins Manasseh committed. God sent prophets to him. He killed them all and made the streets of Jerusalem red with the blood of the saints. He undid all the godly reforms of his father, Hezekiah. He worshipped the sun, the moon, the stars. He erected a pagan idol in God's house and commanded Israel to worship it. He turned to the occult, dabbled in witchcraft. To please the pagan god, he worshipped the pagan god Molech. And to please him, he burned his own children in the valley, in the fires of the valley of the son of Hinnom. To please a pagan god. But a day came when he was in affliction. 2 Chronicles 33:12. Now, when he was in affliction, he implored the Lord God. It's not what my Bible says. He implored the Lord his God. His God. He humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed to him. And did God turn round and say, Manasseh, try the sun and the moon now. Try Molech now. Try your wizard, see if he'll help you now. Don't come to me now, you gave me up long ago. Did God say that? My friend, God is not into that. God hears the cry of the poor and the needy, no matter how far away they've gone. Return, backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Manasseh prayed to the Lord, his God. It's wonderful to believe in the verbal and plenary inspiration of Scripture. And that just simply means you don't just believe the message of the Bible, you believe every word's inspired. The Lord is God. And David's the same here. He strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Oh, David changed. We change. We wander, we stray, but listen, God's power is still the same. God's promise is still the same. I will never leave you nor forsake you. You may behave disgracefully, but I will never leave you. What a wonderful thing it is to be a Christian, to be in Christ. His power is the same. His promise is the same. His plan has not changed. His plan is the same. To take you to glory, as we said in the morning. Predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ eventually. Finally. At death, our souls are made perfect in glory. Now that's three C's. There's another one we can use. And we turn to the New Testament for that. And that is to consider him who in all points was tempted like we are. Consider him who endured such hostility from sinners. Why? It's in Hebrews. I haven't taken a note of the verse, I've forgotten. Lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Do you want a remedy for getting discouraged? Do you want to prevent becoming discouraged? Well, consider him who endured such hostility. Consider Christ. He went away three times and prayed. The same Christ went away three times and prayed the same words. Do you ever get ashamed of your prayers? Oh, you see, I'm all saying the same thing. Christ was in distress and he prayed for the third time the same words. Christ's our example. If you are going to go to heaven, you're going to experience to some degree, only in a minor degree, what Christ experienced. He prayed three times, saying the same words. You see, he was distressed, but not unbelieving. Got it? You can be distressed, but don't be unbelieving. You see, as I said in the morning, Christ didn't know what to say at one point, but he knew where to go and he knew what to do. Glorify God. Father, glorify thy name. John 12. Considering Christ strengthens our faith, encourages our hearts, and repairs our souls. Communicate with God, confess to God, have confidence in God, and consider him. So, just two things in conclusion. Never hope for the best. Never hope for the best. Hope in God. That's profitable. That's useful. That never fails. Hoping in God. What a useless thing. Hoping. What will hoping for the best do? Hope in God. There's always a hope set before us in Christ. Hope in God. We Christians, as I said, have no basis for discouragement. Plenty reason to be humbled, but no reason to be discouraged. Hope in God. David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. And you see, we learn again, secondly, adversity. Adversity is often better for us than prosperity. This trouble, this distress, restored David. And what a good thing it is if trouble restores us to God. And that's our prayer, surely, for coronavirus, that it would turn us to God. I remember a thing I never forgot, and it's a little poem. I walked a mile with pleasure. She chatted all the way, but left me none the wiser for all she had to say. I walked a mile with sorrow. Never a word spake she. But oh, the lesson that I learnt when sorrow walked with me. David was greatly distressed, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. May God, the Holy Spirit, make his word effectual to every one of us. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, please take the things of Christ and make them ours tonight. Please bless your word to us. Keep us all in your love and in your fear. For we pray all for your glory in Christ's name. Amen. Now we'll just read in conclusion from Psalm 43, which I understand actually in the original was one psalm with Psalm 42, and we'll read from verse 3 to the end. Psalm 43 at verse 3. Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. And on the harp I will praise you, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. May God bless. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.